In an old house in Paris that was covered in vines lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. Thus begins Madeleine, Ludwig Bemelmann's much-beloved children's classic, first published in 1939. Since then, it's spawned a series of books, television shows, and films. Readers around the world continue to fall in love with the adventurous and often pesky little red-haired girl who goes to school in Paris under the strict supervision of her teacher, the nun Miss Clavel. Ludwig Bemelmans died in 1962, but his grandson John Bemelmans Marciano has carried on the Madeleine tradition. His latest book is Madeleine at the White House, and he joins us from the Argo Network studios in New York City. John, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And John, you're not only Ludwig Bemelmans' grandson, but also his biographer. So first, tell us, where did the idea for Madeleine first come from?
When my mom was 2.5 years old, my grandfather took her on a trip to France. And they started off in Paris, and he actually made an amazing scrapbook for my mom. And in it, you see pictures and sketches of her all over Paris. She's at the zoo, she's in front of the Eiffel Tower, and she's dressed and looks exactly like Madeleine. After the Paris portion of the trip, they went to a small island called the Île Dieu. And on the Île Dieu, there was only one motorized vehicle. So to get around, my grandfather rented a bicycle. And he was promptly run over by that one motorized vehicle, which thankfully was an ambulance. So it took him to the hospital, where he said there was a crack in the ceiling above his bed that had the habit
of looking like a rabbit.
Or, he said, the profile of Emile Zola, which did not make it into the book. But the girl next door had just had her appendix out, and she came into his room to show him. And then when he came back to New York, his favorite bar and restaurant was Pete's Tavern. And he sat down, and on the back of a menu wrote out those lines you read so well in an old house in Paris that was covered with vines.
And anyone who's familiar with the first book in the series of Madeleine will also remember the crack in the ceiling and the appendix out. What do you think the appeal of the books was for young girls? Or still is, I should say.
Certainly they identify with the character. They love the spirit of it. And then it's just those details like the crack in the ceiling and especially the lion at the zoo. My daughter is almost 2 years old, and she loves when I say, I show her that picture. I said, what did Madeleine say to the tiger? And she says, poo, poo.
Well, your grandfather was in the middle of planning at least a couple of more Madeleine books when he died in 1962. When did you decide that you would take up the series as a writer and illustrator?
Well, when I was working on the book that was his biography, I actually came across a number of manuscripts that he was working on when he passed away but never finished. And so the first book that I did was actually finishing one of those. I myself loved comic books. I had wanted to be a painter. I wrote for a small town newspaper. So I was, you know, in some ways prepared for it, and in some ways not. I was working in kids' books, doing the Madeleine, also doing my own, for about 10 years before I actually attempted to write and illustrate my own full-length Madeleine book.
And how do you bring your own style to the series and yet maintain the tradition of Madeleine? Because when you pick up this book, you really know what to expect. It looks just like your grandfather almost drew it, and it has the same characteristics of any in the Madeleine series.
You know, I went back. The original books, a lot of people are surprised. They remember them as these huge bursts of color. But the original book was quite long. It was 48 pages, and only 8 of them were actually in full color. The other ones were black and white drawings that then had these overlays of yellow onto them. So the first full-length book I did was Madeleine and the Cats of Rome, and I really wanted to go back and do that. And one of the reasons I was slow to do it was, with color, with a painting, it's much easier to, you know, give the mood or to evoke someone's style. When you're dealing with, you know, just the pure black and white, it's almost like a signature. So I went back and I looked through, you know, all of his drawings and saw where he started and ended the line and the thickness and the shadow and the light. And then when I started the book, I didn't look at them again. I mean, I just really tried to absorb it and to not copy it.
Let's talk about your new book, Madeleine at the White House. And first, I want you to just read some of the first few opening pages.
Sure. In an old White House in Washington, D.C., lived as lonely a girl as there can be. Her name was Miss Penelope Randall, but everyone always called her Candle, on account of a wildly stubborn curl that, like a flame, would dance and twirl. She needed an appointment to see her father, but he always canceled, so why did she bother?
Doesn't sound like a good life so far, but Madeline's going to come into that story and save the day. But you say in the afterword to this book that this was an idea that your grandfather had to bring Madeline to the White House. Tell us about that.
My grandfather was friends with Jacqueline Kennedy, and there was this idea that they would collaborate on a book, and it was going to be called A White Mouse at the White House, or then later Madeline Visits Caroline. At the time, my grandfather was finishing up a book, which he never wound up finishing because he passed away, as you mentioned, in 62. It was going to be called Madeline and the Magician. And what I loved about that unpublished book was at the end of it, the magician had to leave the girls, but he came back as a little lost cat that Miss Clavell brought into the girls who were sad that their magician had left. And then the cat tells them that he is, in fact, the magician and that, you know, he's come to stay with them forever. And I think, to be honest with you, I think that was probably one of the last pictures that my grandfather ever drew.
Mm. You write in the same rhyming style. Rhyming is really central to these Madeline books. But in some cases, I know in your grandfather's books, your grandfather had a French and German background, immigrated to the United States, became an American. And sometimes, to me, the rhyming was a little contorted in some of his earlier books.
Yeah, no, it was definitely contorted, and I can only imagine what the arguments with his editor were. He kept rhyming. He would rhyme V's and F's. So Madeline's dog name was Genevieve, and he would always rhyme it with something like leaf. because in German, it would rhyme, I'm sure he pointed that out over and over again.
Doesn't help American readers to their children.
No.
You take a more direct approach. Everything rhymes beautifully in this book.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I try to preserve, you know, some of the, I make it rhyme, but then there is, I think, a certain quirkiness that is central to it. You know, I don't really follow, like, a very strict sort of Dr. Seuss meter where you always know what the exact same number of beats are going to be, because I don't think that that's Madeline, but I did try to just, smooth it out and make it rhyme.
So in this book, as you said, Candle is the daughter of the president. She's very lonely at the White House. But then she gets a letter from her mother who suggests a visit from Madeline and her schoolmates. Was that a device to get in some of the old traditional lines of the first Madeline book?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
Tell me how you wrote it in.
Well, do you want me to read that part, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first lady writes from Bombay, Candle, my dear, sorry to miss Easter again this year, but in my place I've arranged to send the daughter and classmates of a very good friend. Their old house in Paris is covered with vines, and they travel about in two straight lines. Their plane gets in at 9:30. The smallest one is Madeline.
And when Madeline and her schoolmates arrive, and of course, Madeline's the one who's bold enough to introduce herself to the president's daughter, and then the story takes off from there. I wanted to talk to you about the end papers of the book, too, which show a painting of the girls at Arlington National Cemetery. Was this a tribute to your grandfather because he's buried there?
Yes, it was. It was. And you had brought up earlier about, he was European. And he actually, one of the things I think is fascinating, he moved around so much when he was a kid. He grew up speaking French and then German and then English. He actually didn't speak any language without an accent. But he really felt European in heart. But, I mean, he really also felt himself truly an American. And he served in the Army and he wanted to be buried at Arlington.
He was a proud veteran of World War I.
Very proud veteran. So for me, that was another piece that really tied it all together and made Washington just the perfect place to send Madeline and the girls
for her next adventure. John, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
John Bemelman's Marciano is the writer and illustrator of Madeline at the White House.
Although tiny she may be,